Good morning and welcome. I invite you to mute as we sing together our opening hymn, Awake My Soul, in the hymnal number 11. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Lord, open our lips
and our mouth proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
We continue with the Jubilate. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song of praise.
Know this, the Lord himself is God.
He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him and call his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. And his faithfulness endures from age to age.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 139. It can be found on your handout or on page 794 in the Book of Common Prayer. Lord, you have searched me out and known me.
You know I sit down and rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You trace my journeys and my resting places.
And are guided by my ways.
Indeed, there is not a word on my lips.
But you, O Lord, know it all together.
You
press upon me behind and before.
And lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is so high that I cannot attain to it.
Where can I go then from your spirit?
Where can I flee from your presence?
If I climb up to heaven, you are there.
If I make the grave my bed, you are there also.
If I take the wings of the morning
and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand will lead me.
And your right hand will hold me fast.
If I say, surely darkness will cover me,
and the light around me turn to night.
Darkness is not dark to you.
The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike.
Search me out, O God, and know my heart.
Try me and know my restless thoughts.
Look well whether there be any wickedness in me.
And lead me in a way that is everlasting.
The first lesson is taken from the book of Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of his stones from the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called that place Bethel, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We will say together Canticle 21, found in your handout or in the Book of Common Prayer on page 95. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal child of God. All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing and endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father, majesty, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not shun the virgin's virginity. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your blood, and bring us with your saints to the glory everlasting. Luann, will you do the second reading, please?
Second reading is from Romans 8. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to mute as we sing together softly and tenderly.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Lord Christ.
Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in the field, but while everybody was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, when the weeds appeared as well, the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did these weeds come from? He answered, the enemy has done this. The slave said to him, you do not want us, then do you want us to go and gather them? So he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. And both of them grow together, to the harvest, I'm a fellow reapers. Pluck the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. To gather the wheat into my barn. And up the crowds went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And he answered, one who sows a good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy has sowed them into the devil. Harvest at the end of the age. The reapers and our angels, just as the weeds are collected, burned up with fire, so it'll be the end of the age. So the man will send his angels, and they will collect all his kingdom. Collect all his kingdom, all causes of sin, all evil doers. Then they will throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And anyone who hears you is with you is listening. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I give you thanks for giving me last week off. I needed a little bit of break, and I got a little bit of a break. I went camping, not the best thing to do when it's in the 90s during the day and not much cooler at night. But you know that I love hiking and swimming and kayaking and eating, and that's what I got to do last week. So thank you. As I'm hiking, most of the time I just hike and meditate and pray. But every once in a while I listen to an audiobook, and that's more when I'm walking around city streets that I listen to an audiobook. But over and over again, all throughout the week, I found myself listening to my playlist of Christmas carols. And I usually don't do that. I usually keep Christmas carols for Christmas week, those 12 days after Christmas. And so I kept thinking, why am I listening to these over and over and singing along enthusiastically with them throughout the wild? And I thought, it's because I need to be reminded of the incarnation. I need to be reminded of Jesus coming to us, to earth, to be with us and to save us. I need to remember that joy and that peace and that hope. And so that's what I did. And I thought, what do we do when we're hurting in this world or when the world is hurting? And I thought, we've been reading through the book of Genesis. We started the week after Pentecost with the creation story. And then we went on to the story about how Abram and his wife left their home country because God invited them to come and follow me and go to this strange country. And God promised that their offspring would be as numerous as the stars of the sky or the sand of the sea. And what we know is they waited a very long time. We were guessing they were in their 90s when they had that one child, that hoped for child. And I thought, so what did they do as they were waiting and waiting to see God, for God to manifest in their lives and bring forward this promise? So they had the son Isaac, and Isaac then had twins, Esau and Jacob. And that's where we are at today with Jacob. So Esau and Jacob are twins, Esau born first. And so he was supposed to inherit everything. And instead of inheriting everything, Jacob, the second born, tricked dad into giving him the blessing, him God's blessing, that his children would be as numerous as the stars in heaven. And so today's story is when he's running for his life because his dad and his brother realized that they were tricked, that they were betrayed. And he's running and he doesn't even know where he's running, but it gets to be nighttime. And so he pulls up a rock, lays his head down, and he starts to dream. And he dreams, it's the story we're familiar with, it's called Jacob's Ladder. But he hears the voice of God, and God says to him, I am the Lord your God. And he said, and your offspring will be as numerous as the dust around here, and your children will spread to the north and the south and the east and the west, and I will be with you and I will not leave you. And I thought, through all the years of his fleeing and his fright and the trials and tribulations he faced, he had that promise, I will be with you and I will not leave you. He woke up and he said, wow, how did I not know that this was God's place, that God is with me? And he named the place Bethel, the house of God. But he didn't know when this blessing was going to take place. He had to just trust and move on. As we get to the letter, Paul's letter to the Romans today, he talks about the suffering of this age. And this suffering of this age is nothing compared to the glory that we are going to see. And I think about those thousands of years ago, Paul talking about the suffering of this age, but trusting, not knowing when, not knowing how, but trusting. Trusting in the promise of Jesus, trusting in the promise of God. And how is it that we wait? And he's saying, well, we have the Spirit. Remember that the Spirit is within you. And then he said, and we wait together. We're not in this alone. We have each other, other people of faith. And he said, you have to trust in that. And he said, yes, your hearts are heavy. Your spirit is groaning within you. And he says in 22 to 25, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope, we were saved. Now, hope is not hope that is seen, for who hopes for what has been seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And he's assuring us the whole of creation is waiting with us, trusting that God is at work in this world, that God has our best interest at heart, that we will be taken care of forever. And how do we do it? We do it with hope and with patience. And not the prove it to me, show it to me kind of hope, because that's not hope. But hope in what we don't see, what we haven't yet experienced, what we don't yet know. And we can hold on to that hope because it's been promised to us. But what really stuck with me this whole week is I thought the gospel this week is another gospel of us and them, us and them, us and them. And that makes my heart hurt right now. But what makes my heart come alive is the psalm today, Psalm 139. And if you've never spent time with Psalm 139, I invite you to do so. Because it talks about how God loves us, knows us, cares for us, hears us, leads us, guides us. And the very first verse, Lord, you have searched me out and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. When I was younger, I thought it sounds like Santa Claus. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. But it doesn't say that. It says he knows my rising up, my sitting down. He knows my thoughts. And he still loves me. God knows every thought I have and still loves me. That's kind of crazy. And it reminds us that God is with us. You trace my journeys and my resting places. You press behind and before me. I can't flee from your presence. Even if I flee up to heaven, there you are. Even if I go to the depths of the earth, you are there also. Even in my darkness times, you're not dark, you're light. You bring light to us. You are with us, no matter what. God made us. I love this verse 13. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, can you picture God with knitting needles and your favorite color of yarn, knitting you together in your mother's womb, putting each piece together? Knew you before you were created. Made you. And I remember years ago, probably 20, 30 years ago, I first saw the sign that says, God don't make junk. And that really took me by surprise. Because when I don't feel very good about myself, I think that I'm flawed. But God does not make anything that is flawed. God only makes what is perfect and good. And he knows every bit about us because he created us. He knit us together. He hears us. Verse 4 says, even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Even before I shout at that person or make a gesture at someone I'm angry at, even before I say it, God knows it. He leads us. It says in verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all our ways. And then lead me in the way that is everlasting. God will lead us if we just turn to him, listen to him, wait for him, trust in him. It's just like the Christmas carols I've been listening to, the incarnation. God does come to us. God does redeem us if we wait. And that's what we don't like, right? That's the hard part. But to remember that God has a plan. God knows the plan. And to turn because God is in charge. But what do we do with that tension, that uncertainty, that fear, that anger, that desire to fix it right now? And who, when's somebody going to come in and turn this around? Well, we know who that somebody is who's going to come in and turn it around. But we need to wait. And so as we wait, remember that God knows us, is with us, made us, hears us, and leads us. Amen. I invite you into a moment of silence. I invite us to join together in saying the Apostles' Creed, found on your handout or on page 96 in the Book of Common Prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated in the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We'll now read the suffrages. They're on your handout or on page 94 in the Book of Common Prayer. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing in joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of truth.
Let your way be known upon the earth. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the needy be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessings through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to mute as we sing together the anthem, Awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Prayers of the People are Form 6, can be found in your handout or on page 392 in the Book of Common Prayer. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are home,
for this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, Prince, our bishop, for our priests, Lynn and Gary, and for all other bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. This morning we pray for Kevin, Janet, Darlene and John, Tammy, Peggy and George. We also pray for Bob, Jackie, Jen, Jim L., Brian, Dan, Ellen, Marietta, and Jim. We pray for baby Eliza and family, Paige and Michael, Michael S., Tony, Stephen, Alicia, Jennifer and family, Doug, Tammy S., Jerry, Phil, Wendell, James, John, Amy, Lindsay, Holly, Sean, Kurt, Jean F. We also pray for Muriel, Charlie, Raymond, Renee, Heather, Eva, the food pantry, the students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
Ashlyn.
For Sandy Sterling, my cousin.
Tiffany.
Children at St. Jude Hospital and the children at Shriners Hospital for the unborn children.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy and grace.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
Thank you for my husband's birthday. Thank you for my family.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Put their trust in you. O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to join with me in saying the general thanksgiving found in your handout or in the Book of Common Prayer on page 101. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and all whom you have made. We bless you for your creation and preservation and all the blessings of this life. But above all, our immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. And our closing hymn is I Sing a Song in the hymnal number 293. Please mute as we sing this together. Blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Both so forth in Christ.
Thanks be to God.